I'd like, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 5 in verse 6. We're going to be talking about hungering and thirsting. Matthew 5, verse 6. Yeah, I know that you're probably already hungry and thirsty. I mean, you know, the waves are coming in, and you remember the old cartoons where maybe Pluto or some dog would be floating through the air on the waves of a beefsteak or something. Well, it says here in Matthew 5, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger." If you're hungry, are you blessed? It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, brethren, how hungry are you? Are you thirsty? Have you ever been really hungry, really famished? I don't mean American hungry. I mean the world hunger. I mean, a lot of people in the world are really hungry, physically speaking. Hunger feels, it feels like gnawing or rumbling in the stomach. It's not fun. It's not comfortable. And it can range from slightly hungry to just downright unpleasant, downright painful. Hey, I know that feeling well. I haven't really had that much hunger, but I just kind of live with hunger. It's a way of life with me. I mean, you bring out some food, I'm probably ready, you know. I'll get it down somehow, you know. So it can range, you know, just kind of unpleasant to downright painful. I was talking to a member, and this goes way back in the day, when they're grown now, but they were youngster, and they had to drive from way down south to get to church. And, you know, we had some pretty long services back in the day. And then they get in the car and go home. I mean, without, you know, a youngster, no food. And he just remembered he would go through this town, and he's looking outside the window, and he says, "There goes the last Dairy Queen." He's been hungry. And there goes the last Dairy Queen. And now, he was feeling some hunger. Your abdomen may feel like it's being gnawed or have a general sense of empty. And there's actually a hormone that the body puts out. I believe it's pronounced ghrelin, something like that. Your stomach produces and releases. It signals your brain when your stomach is empty. So you got an alert system there. Don't worry. If you need to eat, it'll let you know. It's always there. It's ready to produce. It sends a signal to your brain to feel hungry. So is everybody feeling that now? Yeah. Everybody's feeling that. So my title today of this sermon or this speech I'm doing is The Spiritual Hungry World. The spiritual hungry world. And I won't be speaking physically, but the world is hungry, and a lot of times it doesn't even recognize that it needs to eat, because it is eating, but it's basically eating junk food, physically and spiritually, as far as that goes. But the word there in Matthew 6, hunger, it means to famish and crave. It's like toil, really wanting something. That's what it says there, what Jesus said in Matthew 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. That's the hunger and thirst that seems to be missing. As we heard, then when God calls a person, they begin to recognize that hunger and that thirst. If you would turn to Amos chapter 8, you see, it seems we, a lot of times we don't really miss things until we don't have them. So Matthew chapter 8, it talks about a spiritual source of food that will be taken away. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2 and 3 of Amos chapter 8. And he said, well, beginning in verse 1, thus the Lord God showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. There's more food. He's showing him a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Eternal, or the Lord, said to him, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. Words, here's the fruit. I'm not going to deal with Israel in the same way anymore. Why? Why would God start bypassing Israel? Well, verse 4, hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail. Here's people that are not concerned and not really caring, it says, for the needy and the poor. And what do they say in verse 5? When will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain? We observe a holy day on the new moon. It's called the Feast of Trumpets. And they're saying, when will this be over with? And sell grain. And the Sabbath, that we might trade. And notice how they would be trading, making the ephah small and the shekel large. In other words, they were falsifying scales. That's how they did business. And they couldn't wait to get through the Sabbath until they could get back to business. Yep, you swallow up the needy. They don't have time to eat. They want to get through it, get through the spiritual part, so they can get back to business, isn't it? You know, the world is spiritually needy, but it's being fed. So it feels like it's being taken care of, doesn't it? Evolution, if you really take a close look at it, is a type of a religion. And it's feeding people in place of God. And what about false religion? Oh, that's more food to feed the spiritually hungry. And these things are given as spiritual food. And, of course, a false gospel is given as spiritual food. But it's junk food. It's junk food is what it is. It's spiritual junk food. And that's what people are hungry. The world is hungry. But it doesn't know why or what it should be eating. They don't take the time. So what will God do? In verse 11, he says, behold, the day is coming, says the Lord, eternal God, that I will send a famine on the land. I'm pretty sure this is a dual meaning, physically and spiritually. He said, I'm going to send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Eternal. He said, because to me it's saying, when you had it, you just neglected it. It wasn't that important. You couldn't wait to get back to business. So it's going to be taken away. He said in verse 12, then, when it's taken away, isn't that the truth? We really miss something when it's taken away. When we have it, we're not missing it. Maybe don't even appreciate it. You know, you come home, your wife or your husband, oh yeah, he's here. Then all at once, if they're gone, I think then you begin to appreciate them. Hopefully, that's the way it is, and you wouldn't be that, hey, I'm glad I got rid of them. But that could be too. But it says, what will they do? It says, verse 12, they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Eternal, but shall not find it. And then it goes on, verse 13, the virgins and the young men will faint from thirst. And we're talking spiritually here. When it's taken away, all at once people, oh, what happened to that? They'll start looking for it. There's going to come a time of famine. Well, my point is basically the world is eating and drinking junk food, spiritually and physically. You know, we're taking it both ways, spiritually and physically. Give me two Big Macs, extra fries, and a Diet Coke. That'll make it all well. So you've had a good, nutritious meal. So I'm not knocking stopping at McDonald's. That's okay, but we eat a lot of junk food physically and spiritually. A false gospel, and also a false Jesus. Oh, yeah, there's Jesus out there, but that's not the real Jesus of the Bible. What's the real spiritual food and drink? And what's its source? The world's full of the junk food, spiritual food, but what's the real source? Well, my first point is, I think I have 3 points. Spiritual food is doing God's will. That's one of the things that spiritual food is. Is, I think we heard that a little bit earlier today, is we got to go ahead and do God's will. Now, that's real nutrition. Look at Job. Chapter 23. Job chapter 23. And keep in mind, I won't turn there, but in Job 1 verse 8, God says that Job was blameless, he fears God, and he shuns evil. But here in Job 23, here's quoting Job. Job 23, verse 11. My foot has held fast to his steps. He's talking about God's way. I have kept his way and not turned aside. Verse 12. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. And then what does he say? I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food or my necessary portion. So Job was saying that God's word If he had to take a choice, he'd take God's word over his own necessary food. He said, I have treasured, or some translations might say, I've treasured his words more than necessary food. So you see, God's way is a form of spiritual food. It's not the only spiritual food, but that's one way. Once God reveals his way, then living that way, doing God's will. Look at Matthew chapter 7. If you would, please, Matthew chapter 7. And we'll be looking at verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7. Notice it says, but those who do the will of my Father. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It says, and then I declare, no, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. There's a lot of people crying out to the Lord. Lord Jesus, save me, you know, whatever. Thank the Lord. Praise God. But what does he say? Not everyone who's saying that, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, that's just one of the spiritual foods that people need. Not just knowledge, but actually doing that, doesn't it? And then also in John 14, turn farther in your Bible to John 14. So doing God's will, and actually doing it, is a form of spiritual food. In John 14, verse 15, it says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for the things that I heard from my Father I've made known to you. Am I in the right place? 14, 15. I'm not in the right place. Chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So see, if you love me, doing God's will, you will keep my commandments. But it's those that do the will of God, that do the will of the Father, that will be nourished. Doing God's will is a form of that spiritual food. If you would, just in chapter 14, just back 14. Well, I read that. How about chapter 15 and verse 10? I was over there once, wasn't I? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we see doing God's will is a type of our spiritual food that we need, and that's part of our life. My second point is Jesus is the source of spiritual food. People go, they want the spiritual food, and it's God's will to do it, but Jesus Christ is the source of spiritual food. See, Satan and this world, which is his world, wants to keep us all on this junk food diet spiritually, because that keeps people, satisfied, I'm doing the best you can. And this says, eat whatever you want. That'll be okay. But just get something in you, you know. Get some kind of religion. Get something in you, you know. He wants to keep us on spiritual junk food, doesn't he? Well, let's look at John chapter 6. We're in John, right? John chapter 6. In verse 32, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The true bread. In verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Who is that? The true bread is Jesus the Christ. And we see, did I read 35? And verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So the source of spiritual food is Jesus Christ. And I think people resist that because of how Jesus is portrayed in the world. That's a false Christ, and it's a false Jesus. The real Jesus is people. We have a couple of booklets. One, The Real Jesus, the church that Jesus built. And it's one of the things when I first begin to learn the truth is to learn who Jesus is. I thought I knew who Jesus was. I had a picture of him there on the wall all my life. He was right there. I was well acquainted with him. But he is an imposter. This is when I began to read through the Bible who the real Jesus is, it didn't match. It didn't match the Jesus I had. But Jesus is the real bread. And even sometimes we learn the truth. We know the truth as it was brought out. Let Christ be in you. There's a let there, isn't there? And sometimes, you remember the Israelites? I won't turn back to Numbers chapter 21. You could go there sometime, verse 5. They got tired of manna. They got tired of manna. God was giving them manna every day. And they said, our soul detests this worthless bread. They didn't like what God provides. Well, some of God's ways we don't agree with at times. We'd say, well, now this here, this is a real good idea. But now here, hey, you're crossing the line. You remember I told you about Moses coming down? Good news, bad news. I got him down to 10. But this one still stands, you know. You could pick whichever one you dread. I wish that one would go. All the guys in the construction industry, they wish the adultery would go, you know. That's the bad news. Not all guys. I mean, I've been in construction all my life. Great people. But you could say mostly what the world says, that is great, but the Sabbath still stands. Well, some of God's ways we just don't agree with, but that's where we have to let the mind of Christ be in us. Because he says, I give my flesh for the life of the world. I believe that's in where I am in John 6:51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. He gives his life for us. Without food, what happens? The body starts, it begins to die if it doesn't have relief. But that's what he says, whoever eats of, where did I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, how do we do that? Are we like cannibals? No. Verse 55, 56, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. That's what it is. It's Christ abiding in us. We're taking him in. He was taking in his ways, his words, and living that way. And he says there in verse 57, as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. Jesus Christ lived because of the Father. The Word and God were in the beginning. The Word was God with God. But when Jesus walked the earth as a man, who was in heaven? Only one who, because of the ghetto of Jesus, was then called the Father. So Jesus could not live. He had given up the glory of being God. He was God, but he's given up the glory and the power and the position. So God, the Father, was to sustain him. I live because of the Father. Verse 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. They ate manna every day, and they're all dead. They all died in the wilderness. But because he says, look at verse 63, we see what he means by eating his flesh. Verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The words of Jesus Christ is what makes it. His words are spiritual food, and it's necessary. He's the source of spiritual food. Yes, whoever feeds on me will live. Christ lived because of the Father. We live because of Christ. Christ gave up his life, and he became a servant. I believe we just had that read. I will turn over there too. Seemed like there was something I was going. Philippians chapter 2. We were there earlier. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, that's Christ in us, his word, who being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he didn't consider it emptying himself of that position and that power as robbery. He willingly did it. Jesus Christ willingly gave up his position there to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, taking the form of a slave. And you think the Word and God, which became the Father, basically, they had everything, didn't they? They had the power, the glory. And he gave that up and became a slave, a bondservant. course, in the Passover, were focused on the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ. And then verse 8, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And of course, then God has highly exalted him, which is above every name there in verse 9. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. Jesus Christ emptied himself. And now it says every knee is going to bow, even in heaven. So you see, this is our life. This is our source. This is our source of spiritual food. We're to give up this world's food and give our life to Jesus Christ. He's the head of this church. He's the head of this church. He's the one that, you know, we won't go through the turn to Revelation, the first few chapters, the letters to the church. But there it is. Also, if we have food, we need water. You can't live too long without water. What? I think about 3 days, maybe. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, a man needs over 3 quarts of water daily. A woman needs over 2 quarts of water daily. Man, have you ever really been thirsty? I was out on job one time, I forget what it was, and there was no water, and it's burning summertime, and I was so thirsty. I thought, you know, I'm not going to make it. As you can see, I did. That was one of my own exaggerations. But we need water. Jesus is the spiritual water, the real water. We have a lot of water out here, and it's fake water too. The spiritual water really is Jesus Christ. Our body's about 60% water. And when we talk about spiritual water, yeah, I think we need a lot. And if you want to write down, I'll just quote Isaiah 44, verse 3. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit on his descendants and blessings on your offspring. That's a prophecy of the future. But God will pour water, and that water is Jesus Christ. God's Spirit works in our minds as the tool that helps to mold our thoughts and attitudes to become like Him. It's a molding process. There's an article in one of the church daily or whatever talk about clay. You can mold clay as long as you keep it moist. As it dries out, you have to keep it moist. Brethren, if we don't keep the water coming, we're going to dry out. We're going to dry out. We can't be molded anymore if we don't do it. You know, God's power will enable us to live His way of life. I mean, I'll just mention Micah chapter 3, verse 8. Jeremiah 32:17, and I think we will turn over to John 14, if you would. John chapter 14, we'll see the water, a little more explanation here about the water, saying that Jesus Christ is the water. John 14, verse 26, is the Spirit. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, you're not going to bypass Jesus Christ. You're not going to get there. He will teach you all things. And it says he, it could say it. All things, and bring you to remembrance all things I have said to you. God's Spirit. We hear a lot. We hear sermons. We go to feast. We read the Bible. And then we forget about it. But if we're crying out to God, he will bring it back to our minds. He keeps us in mind what Jesus teaches. So while we're in John, let's look at chapter 4. And here, Jesus meets a woman by the well. If you're interested in it, you can go back and check out how many times are women met at wells. Clear back, the Old Testament, you know. Jacob, Moses, you know. Women in wells. Okay, John chapter 4, verse 7. And we read here, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. So he's at a well, and they draw the water, and a Samaritan woman, which the Jews, they didn't like the Samaritans, didn't have much to do with them. And Jesus said, well, give me a drink. And Jesus sees an opportunity to teach here in verse 7. Woman, Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone. And in verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, let's read verse 7 first. A woman of Samaria came, draw water, and Jesus gave him a drink. And in verse 8, for his disciples had gone away. Then in verse 9, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me? I mean, I'm an unclean person to you, and you're going to get a drink from me? Why is that? A Samaritan woman. For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. It's, if you think about when Jesus, the examples he used of Samaritans, like the we call the Good Samaritan, the Jews all walked around the man. A priest, a Levite, you know, they walked around. The Samaritan stopped and gave an aid, didn't he? And Jesus, in verse 10, Jesus answered, said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Now, Jesus Christ is the source of the living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw, and the well's deep. Where then do you get this living water? Jesus gives living water. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. I mean, are you getting thirsty? You had a drink this morning, didn't you? And now here you're getting thirsty again. Yeah. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. And, you know, there is water out there, spiritual water. There's self-help books and different things that'll give us a little drink. Sometimes might be bad water. Sometimes it's okay. Verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing into everlasting life. So there's the real water. Jesus said, if you knew who it was talking to you, you would ask me. Well, physical water doesn't last, but Jesus offers spiritual water. A fountain keeps flowing. You need to keep water coming. Stagnant water is not good. Flowing water, we need to replenish it daily. I would like to turn over in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Let's see, it's Galatians, Ephesians. Where is it? It's Corinthians and Galatians. And Ephesians. Galatians chapter 2 in verse 20. He says here, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I won't turn there, but if you want to write it down, Colossians 1, 27, 29. It says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. We can't get around that. We're not going to take a shortcut into the kingdom of God. But Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. I believe I read that. Well, that's in John 7. Let me see if that's the one I read. John 7. Verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirst, let him come to me. In verse 38, and he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. In verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus was resurrected. Then he was glorified. And then we'll be coming to the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit of God was given. So, drinking in, Jesus is the spiritual water. You know, God will reveal to us that we're thirsty. Otherwise, spiritually, we probably wouldn't even recognize that we're thirsty. We just think, well, we're just going on with life. Now, physically, oh, yeah, we recognize that. Spiritually, most of the world doesn't recognize. God has to reveal that we are spiritual thirsty. And then it's up to us to go to the source of the water. You know, don't put off and forget to drink. You ever thought, oh, man, I haven't drank much today. You know, you get busy, about like you are right now. You're good and thirsty. You're getting hungry. If Gerald will shut up, I'll go eat. Have you ever thought, I haven't drank much today? We have physical thirst. What about our spiritual thirst? Do we get spiritually thirsty? Or are we just kind of let it go? We need to want that spiritual water. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 42. And we know this psalm. Psalms 42. But I wonder if we think about it in this way. Psalms 42. says, as a thirsty deer pants. Maybe the deer is being chased. In the South, my brother lived down in Alabama, they used dogs to hunt deer. They'd chase them. And the deer, you know, be running. And you can just see the deer, its tongue's hanging out, and it needs a drink, doesn't it? What does it say? As a deer pants or longs for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you. It says, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And we know who the source of the water is. We'll look at it here in a minute, but we've already seen it. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Then he goes on, you know, his tears and all. We have to run. Depart from spiritual danger, just like that deer is panting. What does it say? To flee fornication takes get out of there. We have to run. We have to depart. It says here, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Well, we have to keep going after that living water. It says in verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Where is your God? And it says there in verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitudes. I went with them to the house of God. Yes, he went with them to the house of God with the joy, with the voice of joy and praise, with multitudes that kept the pilgrim's feast. That's what we hear today. Yes. We need that water. Today is a day where we get this extra water. See, God is our shelter. Weekly, we're sheltered. God even has to command us, take a break from that. And take a rest. And refresh yourself. Where do we find that spiritual water that deer pants for? We can't live long without water. I think I mentioned maybe 3 days. And your body needs to replenish lost fluid. The world drains spiritual water out of us. And we should recognize that spiritual thirst, shouldn't we? So let's look again in John, in the book of John. We'll see the source, what that deer was panting for. It said it pants for the water brook. John chapter 7, verse 37, 39. On that day, as we read, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. There it is, what the deer is panting for. It's panting for Jesus Christ to get that water. He who believes in me, and the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Then, as we read before, he was spoke concerning the Spirit. Those who believe in him would receive. Yes, see. The Lamb of God is the source of that water. Let's look over in Revelation. There's other scriptures we could turn to, of course. I'll just mention them. Isaiah 12, we won't have to turn there. I don't have time. You guys will be walking out of here in a minute if I don't get through this with all that food and water sitting right. It's only a few feet over there. Just keep that in mind. You could probably be in there eating in, what, 20 steps right now. That's all farther it is. Okay, but Isaiah 12, 1-3, he says he'll draw water from the wells of salvation. Think about water. What is it a type of? He spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Spirit had not yet been given. Isaiah 55, verse 1-3, that says, everyone who thirsts, come to him. Anyway, I want to turn to Revelation 7, verse 17. Revelation 7, verse 17. Says, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. So the Lamb will lead us to that water, the source of that water. And he says in Revelation 21:6, and he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. Well, it said there about the Lamb was in the midst of the throne. And of course, we could look back at Revelation chapter 1 in verse 8. This is the source of the water. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the one who was, is, and is to come. That pretty well narrows it down. And and then in verse 17, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. Verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead. We know who was alive and was dead. And behold, I am alive now forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades or the grave and of death. Well, I don't even know what time it is. Satan has always tried to discredit the source of spiritual food. That's Jesus Christ. You go back to the garden. Remember, he was the creator. All things was created through Jesus Christ. That'd be in Colossians 1, verse 16. But in Genesis 3, I'll just review these. You don't want to turn to there. What'd Satan do? He tried to discredit Jesus Christ right then. He said, you won't die. You'll become like him. When he said, go ahead and eat the fruit. God knows it. You know, you'll be like him. See, he's discrediting our Savior, our God. And what did Herod do when Jesus was born? Satan's there to kill the Christ child as soon as he's born. Herod determines about the time the birth was, and just to play it safe, he has all the male babies killed from 2 years old and down to try to get Jesus Christ. That's in verse 16 of Matthew 2. And then when Christ begins his ministry, there he is again, after Jesus Christ. Satan tries to destroy Jesus spiritually, and he tries to cause division between Jesus and the Father. He said, if you're the Son of God, and if you'll worship me, you can have all this right now. You won't have to wait. And that's Satan's tactics, just like he did with the angels. It says in Revelation 12, verse 4, that a third of the angels came down with his tail. In other words, followed him. He's very persuasive and powerful. And as you could find many places, Jesus, they wanted to stone Jesus once, and he went through the crowd and hid himself. Another time he tried to drown Jesus, remember on the Sea of Galilee? This big storm came up, Jesus taking a nap, because he was going to the other side, the Gentile side, and he was going to cast out a whole legion of demons. And Satan tried to drown him. Remember that in Ephesians 2:2 it says Satan is the power of the air. Yes. Well, how hungry and thirsty are you anyway, brethren? I know you're thinking, we'll just get through, we'll go satisfy this hunger and thirst. Well, we eat and drink, but are we ever really satisfied? Some are aware of the spiritual food and drink, but don't want to go to the source. Maybe God's opened their mind, they read, but they don't want to go to the real Jesus. No. Well, because Jesus, the name, has been so discredited that nobody even, once they learn the truth, not even familiar with saying it. You know, when I first came in and was baptized in 67, we mostly used God because the picture of Jesus had been so twisted and perverted. And that's the way the world is. But the real Jesus, we don't have to be ashamed of. No. Some may have come aware, but they're reluctant to go after the real Jesus. Just as food and water needs replenished every day, so spiritual food and water, well, it just won't last. As long as we're here in the flesh, it just won't last. They gathered manna every day, didn't they? They had to get manna every day. On Friday, they took twice as much because they're going to need manna the next day, too. So we'll need to be about doing God's will in our life. Remember, that's what we talked about. One of the food is doing God's will. That's food. Our spiritual food and water simply won't last. In other words, every day we need to be asking for forgiveness and understanding. And we're going to be doing the Passover. Jesus Christ is the focus because he gave it. And it's his life, his blood, his flesh. Jesus is a source of spiritual food and drink. Christ has to be in us daily. Sometimes do we recognize our spiritual thirst? I think God has to remind us of that. Because we're physical, in a physical world. And we're wrapped up in it. We don't have a choice. As Christ didn't ask it, we'd be taken out of the world just to keep from the evil. No. We have to recognize our spiritual thirst. Like that deer that pant for that brook. It knew where this brook was, and it couldn't wait to get there. We need to be the same way. Remember, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.